welcome to episode 15 of It's In Her Planner, the podcast. I'm Emma Lewis and I am a self-confessed planner addict. I am the face and planning strategist behind the It's In Her Planner membership, where I teach women the importance of putting themselves first and implementing healthy habits and intentions so they can thrive in all areas of their lives. The quote for this episode is, "You are here for a reason, to understand, to experience, to learn, to feel, to love, to teach, to try, to do, to choose, to change, to reflect, to help, to connect, to trust, to achieve, to seek." The last few weeks for me has been a real lesson in knowing what I need and riding the wave of absolute clusterfuck of emotions, to be honest, when it comes to my anxiety and depression, and really having to remind myself of all of those things in that quote. To get vulnerable for a sec, I have felt like I have been slowly spiraling the last couple of weeks, and whilst I have done my best and what I know is best for me in that process, I've still ended up, I guess, where I was last week. Sometimes no matter how hard you try, you just still end up in that helpless pit of sadness at the end of it all. And I don't know, maybe that's something that only others who experience anxiety and depression can really understand. But yeah, last week for me has honestly just been dealing with all of that, which has meant that a lot of the things I had planned for myself and my week went to shit, and that's also totally okay. I had committed to going absolutely ham for the last 8 weeks of the year, and I guess I just wanted to shine some light on like the expectations we can put on ourselves and the absolute necessity in being able to pivot and adjust our plans according to the things that we just can't control sometimes, like anxiety and depression. And it's crazy that I can sit here and talk to you now without crying, because last week, honestly, it was an absolute state. There were days where I knew that some form or any form of movement would be good for me. And I did, like I went to the gym and it did definitely help. You know, I cried at the fucking gym, for God's sake, which is not just not me, just as an example of how low I was. And then there was a day last week that I literally didn't leave the house and I ate chocolates and chips and watched Netflix. I barely left my room. So for me, knowing how to navigate all of that is something that has taken me years to cultivate, like to understand myself and my needs. But fuck, I'd be lying if I didn't say that there are also just times that I feel so completely helpless and out of control of my thoughts and my emotions. And that can be a really scary and lonely place to be. It's something that I might discuss deeper in future episodes, or maybe even potentially just inside the membership. But this week's episode actually has nothing to do with that. I guess that's just more of a personal update, because that's the reality. And I am not someone who wants to spend my time portraying something that's fucking false. I think there's enough of that out in the world, and I just don't want to do that. But this episode is going to be exploring the Grace Beverly and the Eisenhower planning methods. It's something we actually did a workshop on inside the membership a little while ago, and it's essentially just a different type of way to plan, and I love exploring these things. Obviously, you're listening to a podcast called It's In Her Planner, so anything to do with planning, I'm all about. And I'm also well aware that planning isn't a one-size-fits-all type of thing. So I'm always excited to explore new ways of doing things and seeing, you know, if it's something that I want to implement into my life. And I encourage that, not just with my members inside the membership, but anyone who wants to talk planning with me. But if you feel like you've had to choose between succeeding in your working life or your career and then having a happy life outside of that, these methods might be right up your alley. because the world seems to be divided into these two things. Like, I could go into a lot more detail, but essentially it's the girl boss brigade and the self-care camp. And you're either, the world wants to sort of divide us into one or the other. But the need for some of us who want to be both isn't really being discussed. So these methods are all about exploring how to get more done, which is all great. It's great to be productive, but whilst also giving yourself time out and not having to choose between the two camps of being successful in your career and also concurrently taking care of yourself and your health. You can do both. There is a way to do both, and this is just a different type of way to do it. So we're going to be exploring a mix of the Eisenhower method and the planning techniques that American Grace Beverly uses. So when it comes to finding that elusive, you know, work-life balance, Grace splits her planning into two sections. So work hard and hardly work. So time management is the first step towards doing everything that you want to do, but have maybe on previous occasions just felt like you never had the time, or you just felt really frazzled, like you couldn't get your shit together. And then on top of that, the Eisenhower method is a prioritization plan, which helps you work out what's urgent and what is important, and therefore what order things should be done in, and whether or not you should just be doing some things at all, like should some things be totally scrapped. So how it works is you would take a page in a notebook and divide it into four quarters and then name each quadrant. So each quadrant is named something different. It's either urgent, important, delegate, or don't do. Then you put each of your tasks in the most relevant box. This will help you work out the contents of your tasks, which is quadrants one and two, and which you should probably be skipping altogether, which is quadrants three and four. I would also say that quadrants three and four are the ones that you are generally, like, you know, trying to do, but are like, fuck, I don't have time. Or you're doing the ones from quadrants three and four and then missing out. So I guess this way it sort of puts them into like real life categories for you to be like, okay, this is where I should be spending my time. And I know it may seem like adding an extra layer of like list admin, but by figuring out what actually needs doing, it'll make your daily to-do list, which is in the next step, like much shorter and more organized. So as I said, step two is swapping your to-do list for a to-do table. Now, all of your tasks are not the same. They are not of equal priority. And I know when you think about, if I said to think about your to-do list, you would know that without even having to think about it. So once you've done the Eisenhower method and you know which tasks actually need doing and are the most important, you then feed each of your tasks into a to-do table at the beginning of every day. And you can either divide your table into three columns, or you can color code them, whatever works for you, into these three things. So quick ticks, and they're things that will take 5 minutes or less. Tasks, which are things that will take up to 30 minutes. And then projects, which are the big boys you really need to be conscious of. I would say you need to break down projects into smaller tasks to complete each day, because let's be honest, you're never going to be able to do a project, for example, in one day that's going to take 12 hours of work and concentration overall. You have to break that down into projects. And I've always said the more you can break a project down, the better it flows, B, the more manageable it seems, and C, I just feel like the way that you get it done and how you approach it is so much different and better, rather than just looking at it as this big project. So step three is time blocking. And I think a lot of you will have heard of this, but once you've established each thing on your to-do table, put each of them into your planner as a block of time, which, as I said, is a technique called time blocking. You choose how long your time blocks are. They can be half an hour, 4 hours, 15 minutes, whatever works for you and what you're working on. It's important that you plan your time blocks around when you're most productive. So for me, that's between like 8 and midday every day. That's something that I've worked out myself. If you try and get me to do something that requires any sort of brain power after 1 p.m., it's like good fucking luck to you. Yeah, so plan those blocks around your meetings or your commitments, and then ensure that you are only doing the specific tasks in each of them. So that approach will help you concentrate on the longer tasks while avoid being sucked under by, you know, those the admin demon. Admin can actually in itself be a form of procrastination. So if you do it within pre-assigned blocks of time rather than sprinkling it throughout your day, you're going to get more done naturally. You'll be more productive. I know breaking it down into steps like this can make the whole process seem really simple, but there are a few things that will get in your way or really require your complete attention in order to get the best results, I guess. And one of them is finding your ability to do the deep work. So deep work is about reclaiming your concentration and committing to the work that avoids the constant ping of notifications. I know I am guilty of that. I will be like really task driven and trying to get something done, but my phone is such a bloody distraction for me, and those notifications, I turned off my notifications a long time ago on my phone. The only notifications I get now are like my SMS messages and phone calls. Everything else is switched off, and I still find myself reaching for my phone. So yeah, don't get caught up in the ping notifications. You can get stuck into the deep work by doing like a related task first. So for example, if you're writing a blog post for your website, you could trigger the deep work by like either reading a related article or watching a YouTube video on the same subject for inspiration. But I would say that for the most part, deep work is required for projects predominantly, but you could also include your urgent or important tasks depending on the tasks. But it's basically the zone you need to get in so you can do it intensively and without distraction for a period of time. So then there's the constant threat of distractions and the importance of like eliminating those. Our working worlds generally revolve around tech, so unfortunately we can't just go offline forever, especially now so many of us are working from home and you can't just, you know, get someone's attention by shouting across the office or walk over to have a chat. But we need to use tech in a productive way that enhances our work rather than detracting from it. And whilst I know this is hard, turn off your notifications, put your phone on the other side of the room, set a Pomodoro or a tomato timer, and commit to sticking to it. And I know this is really a practice of self-control. And yes, it does take a lot of practice. I won't lie. So after that, we get into my favorite from Grace, which is hardly work. So the first part of hardly work is that we need to learn to embrace doing nothing. So Grace talks about two types of doing nothing, which is planned nothing and fuck it nothing. So doing nothing has become a bit of a solution for burnout, but in order to not get there in the first place, it should be a planned exercise within our lives. If you're someone who experiences burnout, chances are you need this more than anyone, because you have convinced yourself that your to-do list is never ending and needs your attention and you'll switch off when everything is done. But the reality is your to-do list is always going to be there. You will never dwindle it down to nothing and then have a few days free. That's just fucking life. So I always am a total advocate for planned nothing. Just because I think there's so many benefits to it, and you're never going to beat your to-do list, unfortunately. But planned nothing looks like, for example, keeping 3 week nights free or spending a whole day on the weekend just for you or just for you and your partner. It could look like a self-care hour for 2 days a week, where you get to just like read, meditate, go sit in the sauna, whatever it is that you love doing. And then fuck it nothing looks like the understanding that you're never going to get your planning completely right. So this is your way of giving yourself permission to ditch the evening of work that you anticipated, or saying fuck it to the gym class you had planned but really don't want to go to. I guess bucket nothing is the understanding that allowing for failure within your structure is the only way to make it realistic. And that applies so, so heavily to people who have anxiety and depression. This one is really important. I cannot say that enough. Your to-do list and figuring out your urgent versus important tasks is all well and good. But if you can't work out how to switch off and be okay with switching off, honestly, it's all for nothing. So number two is finding your feel good. Personally, I used to get to the end of a working day and then realize I had booked a gym class and then cancel it. And then I would tell myself that that's a form of self-care. And don't get me wrong, occasionally it was the right thing to do because, you know, it might have been during those periods where I was working like 12-hour night shifts and I was so exhausted and my body was actually better served resting. But the majority of the time I'd go to the gym class and I'd feel 1,000 times better afterwards. So I think learning what activities recharge you and make you feel good is an active process. But Grace suggests a way to do it, and that's basically finding a double page spread in your notebook, or you could do it in your notes section on your phone, and you label one page things that make me feel good and the other things that make me feel bad. So right now, going on walks at the end of your workday could be in your feel good column, as could Friday night's Netflix. But write yours down and you can then feel your time spent doing your planned nothing and refer to your list of things that make you feel good. As I said before, I know it seems really ridiculous to some people, but if we aren't putting planned nothing in our planners, say from 5 to 7 on a Thursday night or whatever, we don't do it. We look at our planners and go, well, there's nothing in there, so I should be doing something. And generally, that then leads to like guilt that we're not being more productive. So I feel like it's like a brain hack that you're putting it in your planner and you're like, I've scheduled this in, so therefore I will feel zero guilt about watching Netflix for 2 hours or however long you want to fucking watch it for. It's really important that if that is the way that you, the way that you function and the way that you can do those things and minimize the negative, emotions and feelings and whatever else that come from existing, I guess, to be really dramatic, like then fucking do it. Anyway, moving on. Number three is putting boundaries into place. So once you know what makes you feel good and what makes you feel bad, you then need the discipline to make sure you actually do them. And that means boundaries. And boundaries are really personal, but most likely they're probably time related, space related, or task related. They might look like having a different working area from where you sleep if you work from home, or a boundary that you need to set relating to not working on weekends. You'll know better than what I do as to what you need, but the key is being strict when it comes to actually enforcing them. Just as a side note, if I'm having like a down day or I get to the end of the day and I'm feeling anxious as fuck, it's usually a good indicator that I've been on my phone or social media way too much. And whilst I know you're probably rolling your eyes when I say this, but you can set limits on different apps that will control how much time you spend on them. And even if you ignore them, they are great for making you more mindful of how you're using your phone and how you're using social media. Because I think saying I'm going off social media completely isn't realistic. It's important to consider how you can implement boundaries without feeling like you're constantly, inverted commas, failing because you haven't deleted your social media accounts. And lastly, combat self-sabotage. So I would say that 90% of the time we know we're self-sabotaging as we're doing it. We recognize that we would feel 100 times better if we went for a walk, but we don't. So I think it's really important to ask, are you self-sabotaging or is this what you really need? And sometimes, as part of this whole process, that looks like forcing yourself to do something. And then if it doesn't make you feel good, then you were right. I guess the more work we do on establishing what self-care means for us, the better we can understand when we're self-sabotaging and when actually our instincts were right and we know we should listen to ourselves more. I mean, the thing is, when we get it wrong, right? So when you get that wrong, the worst thing you can do is then turn around and self-criticize and say, you don't even fucking know yourself, blah, blah, blah. Please don't do that. We move on and we remind ourselves that we're just a constant work in progress. Like I think that's the best way to approach it. It's like you're always just learning about yourself and what you need and what works best for you. Also, side note, I'm well aware that 5 minutes ago we were talking about fuck it nothing and cancelling a gym class being a form of self-care, and now we're talking about forcing ourselves to go because we'd probably feel better after. But that's why all of this is one big learning process. So I get it. The more we embrace that it's all just part of us trying to be the happiest, healthiest version of ourselves instead of punishing ourselves for it, I think the better off we'll be. I would say that this method of planning is ideal for uni students, or those of you who have like big projects or are in a role in a job that has like a wide ranging list of different tasks to complete each day, or someone, I would say even mums, because you guys, your to-do lists are fucking whack and wild. The list of different things that you have to do is mind-boggling to me. So yeah, just if you're going to apply it or give it a whirl, let me know how you go. I'd love to hear your thoughts. And as I said, it's not for everyone, but that's the beauty of planning. If you make it like a fun exploration of you and how you work best, then it can be a really enjoyable experience. And getting to know yourself on a deeper level is always a good thing. But that's all for this episode. Happy planning, gang, and I will talk to you soon.